The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room if you'd like to join us at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It's Thursday.
And so what does that mean?
It means it's Clark with Trish Clark and
Sharon Clark. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And we have absolutely no idea what it is we're going to talk about today, so just hang on to your seat because we're going to do something interesting, and we hope you'll join us for the ride.
If you have something you want to talk about, give us a call.
Yeah, because that would be great. We have no clues here this morning. We're looking at 64 degrees in downtown Reading right now, and a high of 97 today with a low of 65. Getting back up into those triple digits tomorrow at 101 and a low of 69. Saturday, again, 101, and it looks like it's going to be that way through the weekend with those triple digit numbers. So be sure that you're drinking a lot of water and staying hydrated during this tremendous heat, because that's really bad if you don't. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're joined also this morning with Gerard. Jared is with us, and he's going to be handling the switchboard for us. So give us some calls and give us something you'd love to talk about this morning. So, Sharon.
We like rolled in here with like 2 minutes to spare.
I know. And it's like the long weekend is not over yet,
Gosh. I literally had like, I've had the craziest weekend. Like Tuesday was like a Monday and Tuesday together. Like all rolled into one with the craziness of a holiday weekend. And so, and of course in my business, we're working 24/7 and people still have medical issues. I had multiple issues with clients in the ER over the weekend. And so, home care is not slowing down in the summer months.
No, it isn't. And there's all kinds of new issues. Again, like I said, because people, especially the elderly, are very impacted by the changes in weather.
Oh, for sure.
And the heat or the cold, yeah. and it takes a while to get
and
them
acclimated. We had one of our amazing clients, Pearl Harbor survivor, amazing man, had his air conditioning go out yesterday. So had to make a few calls and got that repaired for him. But, yeah, and we had another client lose some power. And, you know, you can't not have air conditioning when you're in your 90s. That's just not going to work. So.
Well, and you know, I think that and another thing that a lot of the people don't remember about is, as I mentioned, during the weather is the hydration. You just got to be drinking lots of water. And it isn't something you feel like you're thirsty. You don't know that, but you can become hydrated so quickly, and that can be just really dangerous.
Right. Yeah, we talk a lot to our clients about, you know, making your appointments in the morning, you know, getting out when it's cooler. You know, not going out during the heat of the day because it doesn't take a lot to dehydrate when you're older. You're absolutely right. So
yeah, do early morning things and do late evening things. Mm-hmm. Learn to work your day around those cooler hours.
I know. It's crazy. I've had a couple families, you know, they came and, you know, toured Shasta County when it was October and thought this is a wonderful place to live and, you know, age and retire, and then experiencing the summer months and you're really not able to get out a lot. You know, you go out in those cooler parts of the day, but even, you know, most of us, unless you're out on the lake or doing something outdoors in the water sport kind of thing, you're not out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon hanging outside.
No.
You know, and so we're very limited with what we can do outdoors through some of those, you know, really, really. And I think it's supposed to be like 110 or something this weekend. So
yeah.
It's here. Summer is officially here.
And that's just wrong. It's June 1st. June 2nd is not July 1st.
I know.
Yet.
I really wish we had more of a spring.
Well, here's the thing. I remember that so many graduation times when we're all worrying about umbrellas and We're doing all the graduations this time, and now it's everybody's looking for sunscreen and sunshade and a way to get out of it because a lot of our graduations that are large are held outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in fact, I'm heading today for my youngest grandson's eighth grade graduation down in Jackson. And it's in an outdoor field at 6 o'clock. And, of course, you know, you have to get there an hour before and the parking.
Yep.
I just can't wait.
I am.
It's as hot there as it is here.
I am past those days, and I'm so glad, proud of my children for those milestone moments, but past those days now. So.
Well, yeah, but you got another set coming.
That's right. I do down the road. That's right. But by then, I'm older, and I'll be like, save me a seat.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was having that conversation with my son last night. That was so like, I could get there, like, at 5 minutes to six.
Right.
Problem, of course, then is finding a parking place.
Right.
Because by then, you can't park within 3 miles of there.
And you don't have a handicap placard yet. You don't need one.
No. No, I'm not going there. So, anyway, it's exciting. But we're not doing rain.
Right.
And I remember a couple of years ago, I attended a couple of graduations, and we were all standing out in the rain.
This time of the year, yes.
Well, it's always about this time of the year. So
unpredictable time.
Our summertime has arrived just a bit early. And wow, all the other excitement coming around, election time.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, and we've got the primaries coming up on Tuesday, and you know, this is the first time in a while where California's primary has had anything whatsoever to do with
the presidential
election.
You know, I was thinking about that. I'm excited to vote this year.
Well, and I think a lot of people are, and my gosh, we've even got candidates coming in this weekend. It's my understanding, and I'm not exactly sure on times, that Bill Clinton is supposed to be at Shasta College this evening. And Donald Trump is going to be out at the airport tomorrow at some time.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't mattered in the North State, let alone in the state
ever
of California
since I've been
for a
here.
While.
I've been here since 2000, and I can't recall any presidential candidates coming.
George.
I think he came when he was president,
Bush
though, right?
Came. When he was president. Arnold Schwarzenegger is being up
that's
here.
Right. Arnold Schwarzenegger has
the
been
governor,
here.
But he was the governor candidate. Yeah. You know, governor's time. I think he came up as a candidate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, Jack Kemp came when he was running.
Okay.
As vice president? Because he's a vice president candidate. Anyway, so we have had a few over the years, but certainly not during the primary.
Right, to this caliber, really.
Well, exactly. And the primary, by the time they get to the primary, and as it is pretty much this time, interesting that there's still the discussion about the Democratic nominee and the Republican that was supposed to be such a high, volatile situation. That seems to be decided. So,
mm-hmm. I know Bernie Sanders just does not want to – I mean, and my daughter was just telling me how that younger generation, they're all just – I mean, they're standing remotely at his rallies, you know. I mean, they really are behind him, so –
Yeah, yeah. Well, and how scary is that? I mean, I'm sorry, but free everything and we'll just pass the tax.
I think that's why some of the younger generation is really behind it, because the free education thing is getting them all. They would all love that.
Free education, free everything, but nothing's free, Sharon.
Yeah.
Somebody
right,
has
but
to
that,
pay
that,
for
that,
it.
That younger generation can't. Wrap their head around that yet. They haven't paid enough taxes to understand where that will come from.
Well, okay, we've got a call, and we're going to go to the line, and we're going to talk to Amy. Good morning, Amy.
Hi. It's not Amy. It's Mimi.
Mimi.
Oh, Mimi. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I was like, I've never heard of Amy Mosley.
I know. It's a Mosley nation.
That's right.
Hey, I'm calling because yesterday when we got a phone call and we were asked if we could host Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, we weren't large enough of a facility, but which is fine. But I was reading a couple of things on the Reading Searchlight Facebook page and about the two candidates coming, and I was just saddened by the way some of our citizens had responded with tacky comments and et cetera about President Clinton and also about Donald Trump. And they were equally tacky. It was just so sad. And I thought, you know, we have an opportunity here to rise above, because for some reason they're coming here. So it's got to say something for our community. And we have a choice to be gracious hosts or to look like jerks. And so I just wanted to throw that out there and get your thoughts.
Boy, what a good point, Mimi, because I did see some of that myself. And I thought, come on, step up. This is why we get nothing in national news except when we do, you know, when we have a heat wave or something really bad happens and we get these bad reports. You're right. There's something out there that's drawing them and making them think that there's important people here they need to impress.
That's right.
We need to step up to that. This community needs to make them lay out the red carpet for both of them.
I agree.
Either side.
Yeah. And you don't need to insult, you know, the other candidate to support your candidate. You know, you don't need to go down. You know, you just rally behind your own candidate. This is what principles we were founded upon, is there's options. We get to vote. There's different sides. There's different takes on things. And people have to be respectful and not hit below the belt. So.
Right. You're right. And I even thought, as a parent and a grandparent, would I have allowed my children or grandchildren to say what I saw some of these people comments? We would, of course, not allow our children to speak that way about another. And then we say it. And some of these people, I know them, and they're well-respected in the community. And I thought, you know what? Bad form.
We get brave behind a keyboard, don't we, Mimi?
Yeah, we do.
Unfortunately.
Even if, you know, at first that all started just with the blogs. And when they didn't have to identify themselves. And now the things that people share and say on Facebook with their real name behind it never cease to amaze me.
No. Well, thank you, girls. I just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Mimi.
And
I'll be there, and I'll be seeing you at 4:30 today.
Yes, you will.
All right.
Have
thanks
a good day.
Thanks very much for calling.
Bye.
Bye. So, boy, she makes some really good points, and we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with more on the other side.
Shasta County needs a leader that will bring new energy to the Board of Supervisors. Mary Rickert, co-owner of Prater Ranch, is that leader. Mary is committed to improving public safety services, addressing substance abuse and mental illness, and to strengthening our economy.
I have a strong background in business, in forestry, and agriculture, and have served on numerous boards and community organizations.
Vote for Mary Rickert for District 3 Supervisor. She will solve our challenges sooner. Paid for by Mary Rickert for Supervisor 2016.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's gonna get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Redding Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
There's Country in the Air at the Shasta District Fair featuring High Valley and singer-songwriter Jackson Mickelson. Now is the time to purchase your advance passes and save as much as 30% on daily entrance tickets and ride all-day carnival wristbands. Join us Wednesday for Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day with kids admission 12 and under free and the free prize drawing at 6 p.m. on the Pepsi stage. To save on ride all-day carnival wristbands and admission tickets, go to ShastaDistrictFair.com or call the fairgrounds office to find the ticket location nearest you. Advance tickets must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th. Fair opens June 15th.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. It's Thursday. So your hosts this morning are Trish Clark and
Sharon Clark, one with an E.
And one without.
But I'm the one without, so.
Okay.
The rich Clarks have the E.
This portion of the... This portion of the show is brought to us by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties and guarantees are honored, 7 days a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. And now is a really good time to be thinking about doing that because
sure
we don't want to be
service.
Without an air conditioner. Should have done it last week like we told you.
That's right.
Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. So anyway, you were looking there that actually it says that the president is the former president is supposed to speak at Shasta College this evening at...
Yes, the doors open at 6:15, and he'll speak from 7:15 to 8:15 in the student union. And, it looks like that's for sure. That's published and on. So parking for the Clinton rally will be in the college's north parking lot. So that's for this evening. Again, doors open at 6:15, and former President Clinton will speak from 7:15 to 8:15. And then as far as Trump's visit tomorrow to the airport, we are still awaiting confirmation on that. So,
yeah,
looks like that may happen or may not happen. But that would be fun to have them both here within a day of each other.
It was my understanding that Donald Trump was down in Sacramento last night, and Bernie Sanders was down in Chico at a rally. So I find it as Mimi was saying, exciting that they're seeing value in visiting in the North State, and I hope our community puts their best foot forward, and we don't have any. You know, as you indicated, be supportive of your candidate and you know, get behind that person. But you don't need to put the other person down to
no,
do that.
No, and it's like, let's have some class, people.
Let's hope.
The joint around here.
Yeah. So I haven't heard about, we had that awful incident up at the lake with the kids from
Oregon.
Oh,
gosh.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I understand that there were over 100 houseboats tied up
okay.
out at Slaughterhouse over the 40
They left
weekend.
Their tents. They left ice. I mean, I was
so,
like...
That was the time before, but this weekend...
Oh, this weekend it happened again?
Memorial weekend, there were over 100 boats tied up up there, but I haven't heard any bad
stuff.
Oh,
okay, good. Because I know they were really... I just thought it was so crazy when they left all this mess. I thought, well, trash or beer cans or something, but, like, just to leave your tents and sleeping bags. And I mean, they just, like, set up camp and walked away.
I just thought that
was just bizarre. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you're a college student. It's not cheap to buy tents and sleeping bags.
Yeah, but
and
college
just,
is going to be free. So
yeah. Maybe they can afford to have disposable campsites. I don't know.
I guess so. Obviously, they don't need free college. They got all this other stuff they can just buy and then just leave behind
yeah.
and not worry about. I don't know.
But it's sad because the lake is so beautiful right now, and all of these businesses up there have, you know, obviously taken its toll on them the last few years without having the tourism. And I always think about all of the marinas and the restaurants and the people that work on the boats. You know, these droughts affect so many businesses. And being a small business owner, I just when your business is dependent upon tourism and this kind of thing. And so we finally get the lake full. We all have such responsible, you know, conservation efforts the last few years. We have our lake is full. These businesses are out there ready to kind of finally line their pocketbooks again, and you get these little creeps coming out, you know, doing
and,
stuff like that. It's just
yeah. and
frustrating.
You know, and you know that the impact from the lake, many times during my time on the board, we did looked at different things about the population up the lake, and at one time we were looking at a transient occupancy tax
mm-hmm.
to be imposed on the boat owners up there. But in that process, you looked at how that money rolled over in the community. And when the lake is full and when it's getting all kinds of people coming up there, that impacts all of Shasta County.
Sure it does,
They're filling, you know, they're hitting Costco, they're hitting Mighty Fine, they're hitting all these places to fill up their ice chests, and they're buying gas, and they're staying, sometimes they stay in a hotel and then go up there. And so it impacts all the businesses in Shasta County when the lake is full and tourism is
right.
Full.
And oftentimes when I'm traveling, I'll say I'm from Reading, and they're like, oh, is that, I've been to that lake up there.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's people that, you know, have been up here simply, that's a draw.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially now with, you know, things being so expensive and whatnot, it's, if you want to just drive to a vacation, you know, that's, it's, you know, pretty convenient and wonderful. And it's so just, we have so many clients that we, you know, drive up there and have had us driving them up there this whole year to check how high the lake is.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, people just really enjoy having such a beautiful thing to look at in our community.
And it is. It's so dramatic how low it was last year, and then it is absolutely full now.
It's wonderful.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And I guess all the houseboat rentals are doing very well, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And up Whiskey Town, I drove by Whiskey Town over the weekend, and the boats were out, and it's, because I, as a local, because all the tourists go to Shasta Lake, we spent a lot of time on Whiskey Town.
So do I. Mm-hmm.
Because it was quieter and we could fish there wasn't as much activity, and seemed to be a few more rules. Shasta Lake, during the tourism season with houseboats and ski-doos and
it could be a little dangerous.
And mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I paddleboard, so that's why I love Whiskey Town, because it's so beautiful. You can get in at different arms of it and, you know, stay away from motorized boats and, so, yeah, it's really fun over there. And I just think it's really pretty. The shoreline is really easy to access. And
it is.
If you're doing paddleboarding and things.
Yeah, it's
so.
Very nice. It's a lovely lake. We're blessed. I do a lot of traveling. I've mentioned this before. But and I go to marvelous places, and I think, boy, this is pretty, and this has got this, and this has got that. And when I return, I'm always reminded that I live in one of the prettiest places in the United States, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're absolutely surrounded by pretty much anything you want to do.
We sure are.
We're a couple mm-hmm. hours from the ocean. We're a couple hours from skiing, an hour from here, a half hour from other things. It's just
3 hours from beautiful San Francisco. And yeah, I mean, really, if you want the city life, you want the country life, you want
whatever, got it all.
Yeah, we really do.
And yeah, this really is superior California.
And really, if anyone's listening and you haven't done Whiskey Town, the Moonlight Kayak, you know, it's free. I'm sure on their website it has the information on it, but you can reserve a kayak and go out there and do a moonlight kayak, and someone from the Forest Service, I believe it's the Forest Service, but, you know, is a guide and talks to you all about the history of Whiskey Town, and you can actually see the white lines on the underneath you as you go over, because it used to be, you know, a town. And, you know, it was so interesting when I first moved here to do that and experience that and understand the history of Whiskey Town. It's just
uh-huh.
really cool.
Yeah, so. I know it is. It's a beautiful facility, and the only thing about Whiskey Town that's always been a gripe of mine, and I've never been able to understand it, is that there's no appropriate place for RVs. They have this big, ugly parking lot in the sun
mm-hmm.
where you can put your RV, which, recognize, when you're in an RV, I'm getting on a soapbox,
right.
When you're in an RV, most you're fully self-contained. You don't leave anything behind when you leave. So you can go park any place around the lake and not impact it in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But no. Only you have to be out in that big parking lot with your RV. Now, the tent campers, I mean, you just have to let your mind go here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not self-contained. And they're all over the shoreline and all over the surrounding areas of the lake. And
that is interesting.
Makes no
yeah.
sense.
And
to
I
me.
Don't think about it because I don't have an RV. But I'm sure, yeah. And it's also not very pretty to sit in a parking lot.
Well, no, it's not.
Yeah, and look at other RVs.
And I just never have been willing to insult my RV to do that. But and I had that conversation with many of the park directors up there over many years about, why do you do that? Why won't you have some places where you can put RVs? Because there is no impact.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense.
Well, yeah, you pull in and you pull out and you're self-contained and you don't need bathrooms and you don't get garbage. You don't
right.
need, you got
right.
it right there. I'm just saying.
Yep. We might attract a different, you know, group of people if we had you know, some options like that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's been a complaint for all the time. And so we were close enough to Whiskeytown, it didn't become an issue for us. We had a lot of friends who came who would have liked to have stayed there.
Yeah, you could just go to Whiskeytown and sleep in a parking lot.
Yeah, and it's really hot and nasty out there. I mean, it's not a good place. So, okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It's romance on the river with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Wind River Resort and Casinos Elements Lounge, Thursday, June 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Garamonte's on drums, with my special guest, Rick Hill, on guitar, and a very special appearance with Scott Lewis. Come see us June 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m., 243-3377 for reservations, and we'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. Washington, D.C. is a long way from the North State, not just a distance, but also an attitude. The decisions made there affect much of our everyday lives. The national debt is nearing $20 trillion. That's mind-boggling. It must be brought under control. And those politicians who say everyone needs to pay their fair share, well, they're talking about you paying more, not themselves. We don't need higher taxes. You already pay too much. The best way to eliminate the crushing debt is to control government spending and the ridiculous regulations that chase our jobs overseas. It's that simple. I voted against the big spenders and to slash the debt. We've put the brakes on more billions of your federal tax dollars being spent on the high-speed crazy train. And I will keep fighting to build new reservoirs, protect our North State water, and force the VA to take care of our veterans. This is Doug LaMalfa, and I authorize this message.
Doug LaMalfa is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Or if you have something on your mind that you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 605-4567. At 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to be joined by one of the candidates for County Supervisor District 3. And so we're looking forward to having that discussion. I want to talk about a little bit about the fact that we do have a local election and some three seats available on the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
And some local measures. I'm not sure.
Right. I think there is like maybe something like a tax or something, right?
The point is, if you're registered to vote, and if you're not, it's too late, but it's still time you still have time to register for the major election coming up in November, the primary. If you are registered, you need to get out and vote.
Oh, for sure. This is really an important election. And I think people are very passionate, and I think that's where when we talk about the Facebook posts and people behaving inappropriately and without class, it comes from passion, which I love to see. We just have to channel that appropriately and be respectful of each other's differing views. But definitely there's a lot of passion behind the major election. But I also think we need to remember we have some local things going on that we need to be sure we're paying attention to in our, you know, those, the local elected officials make a lot of decisions that impact us. We have a lot of issues here in Shasta County, from, you know, water to homeless people to a lot of things going on to public safety. And I think we need to make sure that we are electing people that support your goals and our community goals in those areas. And that's really, I think our elected officials locally are super important as well. And we don't want to get lost on that.
Well, and I think actually the people that we elect here locally for city council, for the board of supervisors, they have a bigger impact on our day-to-day life than the people
that are
in Washington.
Right.
Because we have basically no representation at the federal, state, or federal level, because we elect Republicans and the Democrats. I mean, even when we elect a Republican and they're in control back there, they don't seem to be making much headway against the present administration. So our voice is small at that level, but your voice is huge at the local level. And if you get involved and even just vote, but be a educated voter.
Right. And, and don't not vote and then complain.
That's exactly right. But don't just go to the polls and start marking. Take the time. You get all kinds of stuff in your box that tells you, in your mailbox about the candidates. Take the time to do a little research on them and find out exactly what they do stand for. And that's important, because then that way you'll actually know what you're shopping about. When you're checking off those boxes, you'll know what you're voting on.
Right. And sometimes I've in the past skipped if I don't know enough. I just won't even make an informed decision. So.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so everybody needs to get out. And my daughter, who's 20, is super excited about this election. So it's her first presidential election as a voter. So she's been really, invested in hearing and listening to everybody. And of course, like I mentioned, loves Bernie, like a lot of people, a lot of kids her age do. But
does she understand why that doesn't work?
Yeah,
though?
I don't think she does.
Have you had the conversation with her?
You know, it was interesting, because she's probably going to kill me for saying this, but I don't think she's listening this morning. But we were talking the other night about Donald Trump, and literally, and I'm not kidding you, her eyes teared up, and she's like, he just scares me so bad. And she literally starts to cry. And I'm like, Hillary scares me too, like for less obvious reasons. But, you know, it's like she doesn't really see the others. Like Donald Trump seems to be this scary figure. I mean, and of course he's loud and obnoxious and has
and Hillary's not
divided things. But she's more like scheming. And I mean, he is who he is. It's just, and it's so funny. But that's her perception, is that he's this scary. And literally she's tearing up. The fact that this man might be president freaks her out to the point where she's almost in tears to me.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
So she's watching, I think the media it's very impactful at her age, what's being presented.
Okay, so I'm saying you need to lock her in a closet and let her vote. It absolutely is amazing to me, because I, from day one, Hillary is difficult to like. She's
right.
Not a warm personality.
No, she certainly isn't.
I mean, and her voice, when she gets in that monotone, it's a female voice can be so much more offensive than a male voice in so many ways. And she's got that monotone in your face. I just, she's not a warm
fingernails
and fuzzy
on a chalkboard.
Yeah, kind of. In all seriousness, and especially what I like when I'm listening to her. Is if she's in a situation where there's an ethnic kind of a thing in the South, mm-hmm. or talking to a predominantly black audience or what have you, she tends to take on their imitation and
oh really okay
oh absolutely and it's so insulting.
Do you know, I was just thinking as we were talking about my daughter and her voting, my first presidential election was Dukakis Benson. That was who was on the ticket that I was voting for back when I was at Chico State, and Rob Lowe came to Chico State because they had all these celebrities would come that would get us all to go to the rally.
Oh, sure.
And so Dukakis Benson, that was who I was such a Democrat then. Before I owned a business and I realized where my tax dollars go. that'll turn you conservative in a second.
Well, and there you go. And that's the amazing part of it. You know, I was a registered Democrat for many years. My parents were Democrats. I was born and raised in Idaho and I absolutely remember that my first election was John Kennedy.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Absolutely. It absolutely was. So, okay, we have a phone call, and we're going to go to the phones and talk with Roberta. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Well, you girls are fit and fiddle this morning. Sharon, I was curious about your conversation. You mentioned that Hillary scares you for less obvious reasons. And I just can't believe that because, my goodness, this lady is a criminal. She's been a criminal for years and years and years. And I don't think that is less obvious.
I agree, Roberta. What I was meaning was she's not like in your face flamboyantly like Donald Trump, how he's offending people like my daughter scaring her. He's more like in your face, yelling from the rooftop, showing who he is through some of his actions. That's what her perspective is. Where Hillary, you've got to really research to know and be informed more to know what she's doing. That's what I was meaning by that. But you're right. She absolutely is a criminal. I agree.
Yeah. There is so much in her long, long, long history. And also, she's offended our allies. And I don't know how we're going to get along in this world with a president that has offended our allies. So, anyway, good point. That's my comment.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Do you know the other thing, Roberta, that we have to keep in mind, though, is when we're talking about people like Sharon's daughter, they don't even know who Vince Foster was.
Well, that's true. And you know, I have a son and a daughter-in-law that are the same way, Sharon, so I understand.
If you're not educated enough to have been around long enough, she, judging from just what you see of her, she seems like a safer option.
Well, they no longer teach history correctly in colleges. And these kids are both college educated. My son has a master's. But unfortunately, they have no understanding of politics because it's not taught correctly anymore.
No. Yeah. You're absolutely right, and it's very sad. I don't know. I can't dwell on it too much because if I do, you just want to crawl in a hole and pull it in behind you.
Yeah, and I think too, Trish, when I hear people say, "Well, I'm not interested in politics. I don't talk politics." Well, don't they realize how much it impacts their life?
Not until it hits them, and not until they make the connection as to that's why the things are happening to them that are happening.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And there's, so much on television that they'd rather watch than the actual life impacting things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely true.
Thanks for calling, Roberta.
Always nice to chat with you.
Bye.
I think that was back to what we were talking about, is that we know so much about the Clintons. But we have to recognize that this group of people that are specifically drawn to Bernie, a lot of them don't have any clue that Bill Clinton was impeached. They do not have we never hear about any of the bad stuff.
Right.
About the law firm Martha Stewart went to jail for a bad stock tip. What about Hillary? I mean, she made $100,000 on a little inside information. Nothing happened there.
Nothing sticks to that woman. I don't know. She's just...
Well, because the press doesn't report it and doesn't repeat it. And people have short memories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just have to tell you, having done that for 20 years, different subjects would come up, like our property tax and the fact that counties don't get property tax. I mean, it's constantly people, we already pay for this, and we already pay for that through our property tax. And I would remind them that, well, that's all well and fine, but the counties no longer get your property tax. The state gets your property tax and uses it for schools. And they, every time they would say, well, I didn't know that. And I'd want to say, well, why won't you listen to the last 100 times I said it?
Yeah, I mean, we really need to know where our money's going, that's for sure.
And there is no nexus. Mm-hmm. There is no nexus to where your property tax is collected and where your taxes of any kind are collected and where it's spent. I mean, people are amazed to find out, if they even know what, by any stretch of the imagination, that most of the mental health funding in Shasta County comes through gas tax.
Oh, interesting.
Go figure.
Yeah.
And you thought all that gas tax was going to fix those roads.
Yeah.
Now you know why we have all the potholes.
That's right.
They've convoluted by different propositions and different things into where the money has no nexus to where it's collected.
Well, I remember when I first opened, they were going to tax my phone line to pay for child care for welfare recipients.
Yes.
As a small business owner, they were going to add a tax to my phone bill. It didn't pass. It was a proposition. But I'm like, how does that? So I open a small business. I'm taking this risk. And you're going to tax my phone bill to pay for welfare recipients' child care. You're right. It's all over the place.
It's all over the place, and nobody has a clue. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the other side.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town. Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Redding for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of bright and jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Redding. Dandelion.
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Oh, I like that song.
How you feel?
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It is Thursday, and it's the first Thursday of the month, so it's Trish Clark.
And Sharon Clark. Good morning, everyone.
And we're just kind of talking about anything that interests us. This portion of the show is brought to us by Cypress Square Barbershop. A man's last stronghold, I believe Carl said.
That's right.
Sharon and I don't go there, but we know a lot of really sharp guys that do.
And they'll shave you even.
Is that
they
right?
They do a shave.
Oh, with
yeah.
with straight edge?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do
so they're located
shave.
At 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading. Give them a call at 244-9478. But be sure and stop in there. I wander by there every once in a while, and there's just a lot of good conversation going on there, a place for guys to go and get
yeah,
that.
There's no perms. There's no colors. The Carl's is
yeah,
good old-fashioned haircuts and yeah, no. Fish and Game magazines.
No copy of Oprah laying on
that's
the toilet.
Right. That's right. So. I have some gentlemen clients that go there, so
well,
yeah.
exactly.
Fun place.
So yeah, no, great place to get a haircut, and Carl and all the guys, they all go there.
Go get a bug cut.
So we've got Mary Reichard coming in at 8 o'clock to join us and talk about her supervisorial race for District 3. Again, reminding everybody to get out and vote next Tuesday and take the time to check out what's happening between now and then.
Make sure your employer lets you vote because that is your right as an employee.
Absolutely.
To make available time for you to make sure you go to the polls.
And you know, it's important, and especially since we really are in the play of things here, and get out and vote for your candidate and support those, the different local offices and help be a part of the solution, because if you're not, then you're part of the problem.
Absolutely. And as we talked about in the first hour of the show, we will be having former President Bill Clinton at Shasta College this evening, and then potentially Donald Trump tomorrow at the airport. So that's pretty exciting.
Let's really put Shasta County's best foot forward here and show these, because you're going to have a lot of national cameras, you know, that follow around, a lot of major coverage. And it's really important that you get on board with that and show them what a classy place Shasta County is.
Yeah, let's not have, like, issues at the rallies and people being stupid. Let's not look like that.
And don't throw your garbage all around either.
Yeah, don't do that. Let's class up the joint, like I said earlier. Let's be classy.
No, it's important. So, we need some phone calls to tell us what we need to talk about. Now, one of the other subjects I did want to talk about, though, is there was a great letter a while back in the newspaper from the fire chief in Reading. And there was an incident actually out in Happy Valley, and then we had one out in Anderson where we had a building, downtown building, burned to the ground. And the fire chief from Reading commented on the cooperation level between the fire districts,
mm-hmm.
and how good it was and how important that is to the citizens of Shasta County as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of us are strong enough individually to have, when you have a major structure going down, with all the issues that entails, with all of the things that are involved in old buildings and
the, sure.
But for everybody to be on scene that night, and it was a really interesting, good portrayal of what happens in Shasta County and how well served we are as a community, because we had two or three fire chiefs on duty there. The Reading fire chief ended up operating as a safety officer for the thing.
So coordinating all those efforts together,
mm-hmm. Exactly, bringing in all of those, all the manpower and the units that to help in those situations. And that's a really good thing. And I don't think a lot of times the citizens recognize how important that is. I've lived in communities where, actually one time in San Jose, out between San Jose and Santa Clara, the two departments literally stood there and watched a building burn trying to figure out which jurisdiction it was in. I mean, that's how political and money-wise wrapped up it
right.
can get.
I don't get that as a citizen. I wouldn't understand
that.
You
wouldn't,
all.
But yeah. I remember that distinctly. That was back in the 70s, and they literally sit there and watched a building burn to the ground because they couldn't determine whether it was in Santa Clara or San Jose. And so we don't deal with those issues up here, and I don't think perhaps the citizens understand sometimes how fortunate they are that they have that level of cooperation mm-hmm. between the various public safety entities.
Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't have even thought of it. You just figure they're there to put it out.
Yeah, well, right. And it is important because, as mm-hmm. I indicate, we're all small departments. It's, you know, the staffing, everything is not... And it's just nice to see that everybody getting in there. How can we help and bring our units in and then go cover the other stations so that something else happens? But it was one of those incidents that really turned out well. Good morning, Billy Bob. Glad you called. Billy?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I just wanted to make a point that, the Clintons, as you well know, and anybody of any age The Clintons have absolutely embarrassed the White House, and they have no right being in any public office whatsoever. And again, when you get Bill Clinton in Redding, California, that's not a good sign. And again, I must just let everybody know that they are an absolute embarrassment. They've already ridiculed the White House, and that they have no business in politics in America. So I'll let you guys go.
Thank you, Billy Bob. So, and you know, that's one of the things that, that this election is bringing out. There's no middle ground for any of the candidates. We've never had so much of the Never Hillary group. I mean, they would fall on their sword before they would allow anything to happen, you know. For, and then you've got the Never Trump group, and
I'm going to leave the country.
I'm going to help a lot of those people leave. I'll tell you, I'm loving that list and going, yes, please hold them to that.
I'll tell you though, it is interesting to think about the Clintons back in the White House again. I mean, that really is just kind of that gets me, because I do agree with Billy Bob on that. Like, I feel like there was not respect for the White House, for our
they
country.
They stole all that stuff as they left. They had to go after them like arms in the night.
The thought of
to
Bill
bring
Clinton,
back the China.
What would he be called? First husband?
I have no clue.
The thought of him being back in the White House as first husband is just enough to make my skin crawl. I mean, honestly, I don't even know. Like, that's just so crazy.
You know,
It could happen.
It is a frightening, like, I can't dwell on all that because if when you really start thinking about it, Billy Bob makes great points.
Yeah.
But again, it only makes us look bad if we lower ourselves to their level. So you can say that and hold up your sign saying that. But don't be disrespectful,
right,
don't use the foul language. And don't attack the people, who are there and supporting their candidate.
Right.
That's not the thing to do. And we're going to go after the phones. Jim, good morning. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Trish?
We're doing well.
Yes. Hey, I was just telling you, when you mentioned about the fire departments letting things burn down in certain places.
Yes.
Right here in Redding, I had a shop down on East Lake Boulevard, out there right across from the Waterworks Park, which was not at that time there. And anyway, it caught on fire up there. The whole complex caught on fire. The Redding Fire Department showed up to protect the mobile home park on the hill, and let my shop burn to the ground, and that one firefighter came up and told me, said, I could have put that out in a little bit, and they told me not to, because that's Buckeye's district.
Oh, my gosh.
And they let my shop burn clear to the ground.
Well, there you go. So we've gone beyond that in this county. How many years ago was that, Jim?
That was back in the early 70s.
Well, there you go. And so we have made a lot of progress with the cooperation level between things. But I hear what you're saying, because I witnessed it myself.
Yeah, and I was going to, he says, I says, I think you can sue the city, but he says, don't use my name. But he was a pretty nice firefighter. He told me, but he says, I could have put that out. And he said, they told me not to.
Wow, that's sad.
That is sad. So, well, yeah, I'm glad we've gone beyond that now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I was going to let you know that it happened right here.
Gosh. Thanks for the call, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. You know, it's always nice to when you call in and you got something to say, because it gives us a good feeling that we're not just sitting here rattling on.
Yeah.
There are actually people out there listening, and I know that there are, because I appreciate the comments as I go through the community and that people make, that they hear us on the radio and that they like this or they don't. But we enjoy doing this. I enjoy Thursday, and I love having Sharon come in on the first Thursday of every month. And we managed to come up with
fill the 2 hours with something.
Exactly.
Once in a while, Carl has a guest he forgot to tell us about that pops in. And
yeah, so it's always kind of a what's on the schedule for this morning moment all the way through. And we hope you appreciate that, and that you're enjoying what we're bringing to light. Again, I just want to remind you to be sure and make time Tuesday to get out and vote. Put it on your calendar like you do everything else. It only takes a minute, and it is important. It'd be great if we'd get in the primary in Chester County. We've got a lot of things going on with our three supervisorial seats and other things, and we actually can have a voice in this presidential election. for the first time in a long time in the state of California. And there's other stuff out there to vote on, so be sure that you get out and do it on Tuesday. Wouldn't it be great if we had like a 65 or 70% turnout? I mean, unheard of, but wow, that would be great.
Yes, and get your I voted sticker and wear it proudly.
Exactly, exactly, because it is important. You know, quite often we get this 15% like we had in the 5th District supervisory race last election. How embarrassing. I mean, 15% of the people who bothered to register, which is only maybe 50% of the people who are eligible to vote, and then only 15% of them can take the time to go to the polls and
vote. That's pretty pathetic.
It is pathetic. Yeah. And shame on all of you who don't vote and don't register and are not informed, because you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. And so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after these words from all of our sponsors.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Los Angeles police are now identifying the man they say carried out a murder-suicide on the UCLA campus yesterday as Maynex Akar, a PhD in computer engineering, who apparently killed a colleague because he thought he had stolen some of his code. Meanwhile, the students yesterday complaining that some of the rooms they tried to hide in while the shooting took place didn't have locks on the doors, a concern for UCLA Executive Vice Chancellor and Provost Scott Wall.
We've heard all kinds of reports, and we want to look at each one of them and make sure that the campus is as secure as possible, make sure that students and faculty and staff will be safe in the locations that they have. So, yes, we will review everything.
The gunman shot down engineering professor William Klug in an office before taking his own life. A gunman who's suspected of shooting and wounding two police officers in Northern California remains holed up at a house in Fremont in an armed standoff with law enforcement. The Alameda County Sheriff's Office says the officer had fired tear gas into the house, but the man is still refusing to end the standoff. Seven automakers adding nearly 4.4 million vehicles now to the U.S. cars in the massive Takata airbag recall. We get the details from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The recalls involve vehicles made by General Motors, Volkswagen, Ford, Daimler Vans, BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, and Mercedes-Benz. General Motors has the largest total at 1.9 million vehicles.
As correspondent Linda Kenyon, Takata inflators can malfunction and propel shrapnel into drivers and passengers. A private survey finds U.S. businesses added 173,000 jobs last month. The pace is slowing, but that's no concern to Moody's Analytics economist Mark Zandi.
Feels like if we're not at full employment, we are very close. And
ADP says there were strong gains in the service industries, and that led the job increases. Construction firms also hired more workers. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
The federal appeals court in Philadelphia says it will not reconsider a ruling that upholds the potential $1 billion settlement of NFL concussion claims.
Critics of the plan for retired players wanted the full court to reconsider the approval granted by a three-judge panel in April. They say the lead player's lawyers traded away compensation for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, to boost awards for less common problems. The settlement plan could pay several million dollars to young players with severe neurological diseases. But
that's correspondent Jeremy House. Stocks have been broadly lower in early trading on Wall Street, led by declines in energy companies as the price of oil internationally sank. Benchmark U.S. crude dropped 1% to $48 a barrel as OPEC oil ministers ended a meeting in Vienna without any kind of consensus on regulating prices or supply. Breaking news and analysis to be found at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. General Mills says a 10 million pounds of its flour recalled over a possible link to an E. coli outbreak in 20 states largely was produced at the company's plant in Kansas City, Missouri.
The company spokesman Mike Simeonis says the E. coli strain hasn't been found in any General Mills flour products or at the Missouri site. The recall announced Tuesday is for several varieties of Gold Medal and Signature Kitchens flour that were sold at Safeway, Albertsons, and other supermarkets. The company said 38 people were sickened from mid-December through May the 3rd. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that half of the people used flour before getting sick.
That's Keith Peters reporting. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says if things go according to plan, people will be on Mars just about 9 years from now. During an interview with the CODE conference in Southern California, Musk said that, quote, we should be able to launch people in 2024 with arrival in 2025. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 530-605-4567. It's Thursday, so this is Trish Clark and
Sharon Clark hijacking the airwaves today.
Exactly. So we've been talking about this and that and the other thing all the way through this morning. We now have in the audience, in the studio with us, Mary Rickard, who is a candidate for County Supervisor District 3. Good morning, Mary.
Morning, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and so let's start off, and we're going to break away from the weather thing just a bit, but we're going to start by having you tell us first who you are and why you're running for District 3 Supervisor.
Well, my name, like I say, is Mary Rickert, and I've been a resident of Shasta County for over 42 years, and I'm committed to Shasta County. My husband is a fourth-generation Shasta County, and I have two grandchildren that live in District 3 that are sixth-generation Shasta County residents. And I've been involved in a myriad of organizations and boards over the years in Shasta County. And basically, I feel like running for this District 3 supervisor position is basically an extension of all my volunteer work over the years. As a matter of fact, Trish, if you recall, I used to give presentations to you when you were on the board.
I do remember that.
And I was chair of the mental health board. So my husband and I are the owners and operators of Prather Ranch, and we provide a healthy, what we consider to be a healthy piece of meat for people in Shasta County to enjoy on a regular basis. And we've been with Prather Ranch for 37 years. And so that's been our business. We also have done agricultural appraisals and real estate brokerage. And so we've had our foot in the agricultural world in a real deep sense over the years. And then, go ahead, Trish.
Okay, that's all right. We have a caller, and we're going to go to the phone and listen to Roberta. Okay. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Oh, gosh. Mary, congratulations on putting your foot forward.
Oh, well, thank you.
We need more people to do it. But my concern is our mail service.
Oh, really?
And because our mail-in ballots have to go clear to Sacramento and then come back to Redding, I just want to remind people to get your ballots in the mail today or take them to the polling place.
I think that's an excellent point, Roberta, and I want to thank you for calling in. That you are correct that the mail system has slowed down with mail having to go through Sacramento, and I think that's an excellent point. And
I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the show.
All right, thank you, Roberta.
That's a really good point, and I'm awfully glad that you brought that up, because the mail service, if you put it in, it goes to Sacramento, then back.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure that you're mailing those today or taking them to the polling place or to the clerk's office. You can also take him down to the clerk's office in the downtown mall all day on Tuesday as well, or Monday. But, yeah, really, really good point. Don't be dropping them in the mail on Monday morning because they're just not going to count.
Right.
So Mary, there's got to have been something. You don't have a lack of things to do in your life.
No, that's...
So there's got to have been a pressing issue that made you decide you wanted to run for District 3 supervisor at this point.
Tell us what
that was.
Well, I was currently serving on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, so I do have a background in the timber industry, and I had several people, actually for years, I've had several people say, gee, Mary, you have a diverse background. You have a strong background in agriculture. You understand water issues. You've really gotten up to speed about the timber industry issues. But you also have this other part of your a dimension to your background in that you served on the Shasta County Mental Health Board for 10 years. And what I consider to be a real serious problem in Shasta County these days is the lack of mental health services, the increase in substance abuse. As I was driving in this morning, there was a big discussion about the increase in rate of murders throughout the country, and they're blaming it a lot on drugs. And so I think that's a huge issue, and I think it's at the foundation of so many of our problems, including public safety and crime, property crime in Shasta County. And so there's a very complex kind of understanding of how mental health issues, homelessness, substance abuse is all interconnected. And I do think I have that background. I've been a member of NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, for probably over 20 years. And I don't know if you remember this, Trish, but I spent a lot of time over the years helping with our crisis intervention training for law enforcement. We also did trainings for county employees. I've gone to school districts and tried to train teachers. And so that people understand what warning signs there are, especially in younger children, so that we can deal with it more effectively. And prevention and early intervention is very important. And I think the sooner you can catch a problem, then there's less problems down the road.
And Mary, one of the things you were touching on a little bit is I think a lot of people don't realize homelessness, drug addiction, oftentimes they're self-medicating.
That's right.
It's a dual diagnosis. Right. Now they're an addict because they were treating for a mental health issue.
Absolutely.
And they can't go to the mission and they can't get the help they need because they've got this other condition that we need. So, I mean, we have you're really smart about that because it's the truth is we can help the people that are homeless that are just down on their luck. They can go to the mission, take advantage of all the amazing programs. Then we need to quit giving money to the people that don't want to get the help and are healthy just here.
Right.
Let's make it hard for them to stay here and leave. But then we had this other demographic group of mentally ill they can't participate in the mission because they're not healthy enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get out of town and get help somewhere else.
Right.
They're just stuck.
And that's interesting that you would bring that up. That was one of the things I was going to mention is that the statistics show that a good 60-70% of mentally ill people or have a serious diagnosable mental illness self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and then you get the addiction problem because we all know how addictive so much of these drugs are these days. And then they get caught up in this. They've got basically what's called a dual diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is probably the driving force as to why I'm running. And I feel that someone on the Board of Supervisors needs to be an extremely strong voice and advocate to move this topic forward and to try and solve some of these problems.
And the difference in my mind is that can't be a person who does not have the understanding of the fact that, okay, we've got the mental health issue, but the way to solve it is to figure out a way to generate the necessary funds to have the funding for mental health.
Right.
And with your business background, you know what the answer to that is.
I do. And I've been studying the county budget, and we have $26 million that comes from the state. A lot of people understand the vast majority comes from realignment dollars, you know, our vehicle license renewals and those kinds of things.
Wow, see, there we go again.
it's
bizarre what feeds into what.
There's no nexus as to where the funds are collected and how they're spent.
That's right. And so as we know, as Trish, you know, that there's only about $50 million of the $422 million county budget that's discretionary. And then everybody's kind of squabbling over that. We won't get into that. But the other thing is, in 2003, I worked on what was called the Mental Health Services Act, and I helped gather signatures to get that on the initiative for Prop 63, and that's called the Millionaire's Tax. And so the millionaires, anybody that makes over $1 million in this state, pays a 1% tax to go into this fund. and it's called the Mental Health Services Act. And we have benefited in Shasta County over the years with several different programs. One was workforce employment training. Another one was, one of my favorites, was prevention and early intervention, trying to, you know, get into the schools and try and get people educated and get ahead of this before it becomes a real problem for people. And then there was capital expenditures where they did some improvements to the mental health facility out on Breslauer Lane. But the important thing is these Mental Health Services Act fund money right now is going to help with the Wellness Resource Center that they're talking about. And there's also a couple of housing projects that are in the works. There's very preliminary discussions in eastern Shasta County to house a few people that are already in the area. We had a meeting last week in Bernie, and to clarify again, these people already live there. I've helped teach NAMI classes in Bernie, and there are people that are homeless that are persistent, have a persistent mental illness.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, but I want to remind you that it's 64 degrees or 67 degrees now in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high of 97 today, a low of 65. On Saturday or Friday, we're looking for 101 degrees. And Saturday, 102. It's going to be warm all through the weekend. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793, and we'll be right back after these breaks.
It's romance on the river with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Wind River Resort and Casinos Elements Lounge, Thursday, June 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Garamonte's on drums, with my special guest, Rick Hill on guitar, and a very special appearance with Scott Lewis. Come see us June 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m. 243-3377 for reservations, and we'll see you there.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. Washington, D.C. is a long way from the North State, not just in distance, but also in attitude. The decisions made there affect much of our everyday lives. The national debt is nearing $20 trillion. That's mind-boggling and must be brought under control. And those politicians who say everyone needs to pay their fair share, well, they're talking about you paying more, not themselves. We don't need higher taxes. You already pay too much. The best way to eliminate the crushing debt is to control government spending and the ridiculous regulations that chase our jobs overseas. It's that simple. I voted against the big spenders and to slash the debt. We've put the brakes on more billions of your federal tax dollars being spent on the high-speed crazy train. And I will keep fighting to build new reservoirs, protect our North State water, and force the VA to take care of our veterans. This is Doug LaMalfa, and I authorize this message.
Doug LaMalfa is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
A true tribute band. Musicians and fans agree Willie Nelson is an iconic figure in American history. Roger Hedgie, as True Willie, pays tribute to the life and music of one of the world's most recognizable and distinctive musicians, specializing in a complete Willie Nelson concert production.
The best yet. Join us Friday, June 3rd at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes True Willie.
True Willie.
Live at the Event Center.
Live. Chosen as the most authentic and convincing tribute act to Willie Nelson in America, the True Willie Tribute Band is fast becoming the first choice with audiences across America. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets are just $12.50 each or $10 for $100. Join the True Willie Tribute Band in celebrating the excitement and journey through their timeless story through song and incredible vocals. Live in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
Live.
Friday, June 3rd. A must-see show.
A must-see.
For details, call 1-800-280-UIN or log on to WinRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
The River.
There's Country in the Air at the Shasta District Fair featuring High Valley and singer-songwriter Jackson Mickelson. Now is the time to purchase your advance passes and save as much as 30% on daily entrance tickets and ride all-day carnival wristbands. Join us Wednesday for Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day with kids admission 12 and under free and the free prize drawing at 6 p.m. on the Pepsi stage. To save on ride all-day carnival wristbands and admission tickets, go to ShastaDistrictFair.com or call the fairgrounds office to find the ticket location nearest you. Advance tickets must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th. Fair opens June 15th.
If you're all alone, and a pretty
doing a great job with music there. This
yeah,
is KCNR,
awesome.
1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605 4567. This portion of the show is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's, serving caramel macchiato and other coffee you can and other every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans get discounts. And I also want to remind you that this tonight at Elements Lounge, Linda Bott and the Bluebirds are going to be there. And if you haven't been to Romance on the River and the evening out at Elements Lounge, you really need to do that. You probably need reservations, so give them a call at 243-3377 and join Linda and the crowd out there for a wonderful evening and a great meal, and it's just very enjoyable.
And if you haven't seen her sing live, she is amazing. Entertaining, super fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quality entertainment. Just a really great night out. So join her this evening out at Wind River Elements Lounge. And we're joined this morning by Mary Rickert, who is running for District 3 Supervisor. Remind you that the election is coming up next Thursday. And if you don't mail your ballot today, if you have a mail-in ballot, be sure that you take it to the clerk's office or you deliver it to the polls, because with our new mail system, it goes halfway around the world before it gets back to us. And that just isn't going to make it by the election. So, Mary, you were giving us some great information. I have a specific issue I want you to address, because one of the reasons that I think Shasta County has had some problems over the last several years is the fact that we need to figure out that our best interest is served by the more sales tax that we can generate. We don't get a lot of property tax. Cities get most of the property sales tax because that's where the businesses are located. So we need a very aggressive stance as deciding business in the unincorporated area. And I don't see anybody on the board who seems to understand that. I'll elaborate.
Yeah.
They just took a position as a board of supervisors that has a county interest to hope that Costco saves in the city of Reading.
That's a little confusing.
way confusing for me. Because if they could even have taken a position to support it going to Anderson.
Right.
Because they get a part of that sales tax. Or that it located in the unincorporated area. Or preferably, they should have stayed out of it because it wasn't any of their business. But to take a position that all that sales tax should stay in the city of Reading was mind-boggling to me.
Well, we need to look at our county government as a business. And,
yes.
I think we need to think about how to generate revenue. I know right now hay prices are down in our business, and so, you know, we're trying to cut costs and all this kind of thing. But you need to figure out how to strategize and to be proactive and not reactive. And I think that's something that we need to do. We need to kind of, in my opinion, we need to make Shasta County a really attractive place for people to want to come and to live and to start a business or to raise a family or retire. Another thing I want to emphasize, especially District 3 represents a very, very complex demographic. It actually is bigger than the state of Rhode Island, if you can imagine. It's a huge district. And I live, I always say I'm one of the last houses in Shasta County up out of MacArthur, the other side of MacArthur. And then people tell me I sound just like Sarah Palin, but I can see Siskiyou, Modoc, and Lassen counties from where I live. And I'm not kidding. But it is a huge, huge district. And a lot of people don't understand 51% of the voters are in the city limits, too. So that's one challenge that we have. But speaking for the rural area of the district, I think it's also really, really imperative that we keep those businesses that we have already, you know, generating jobs, et cetera, that we make sure that they remain viable and that they stay in business. One concern of mine is that as I served on the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, we had a presentation last year when I was still on the board about all the biomass facilities that are either reducing their output or they have been closed. Well, Burney has a biomass facility, and it's one of the few in the North State, and that is a crucial part of the Burney economy. And if that were to close, it would put into jeopardy places like Shasta Green, who also employ a lot of people. So that's one of my focuses, is to make sure that those kinds of facilities stay open and that people are able to keep their jobs. Another example I'd like to use is Mayor's Memorial Hospital. that is, you know, obviously we don't have hospital services close by for those of us that live in the Intermountain area, and that hospital is always teetering on the brink of, you know, some financial crisis, and we need to be sure that that we can kind of maintain the viability of that particular hospital, because if that were to close, it's the largest employer up there. 48% of the people that work at Mayor's Memorial Hospital actually live in Burney, so it would impact that entire entire Intermountain area. So yes, we do need to generate business. We need to improve the economy in the rural areas so we can generate revenue for the county to function.
Shasta County needs to put out a how can we help you do business as
opposed
to how we can get in your way. One of the things I don't think that the a lot of our electeds in Shasta County now understand is that we're mandated by the state to have a certain level of bureaucracy.
Right.
We need not go beyond that. And we always need to remind our staff when they come in with a new rule that's been handed down, and then they want to tweak it just a little to add a few more layers. And it's been a while since we've had anybody on the board who's willing to look at that and say, no, we don't want to go beyond what we're mandated to do. And how can we turn this around so it's helpful to our business community as opposed to oppressive to them?
Well, you know, and here's an example. I'll use a water issue, and I've been kind of bringing this topic up, but there's something called the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA, that has just been, it's a mandate, it's passed as a law in California. And we also have part of the Prather Ranches in Siskiyou County. I've been getting notices. My husband's been going to meetings and workshops on how to develop our own, basically, we have to, or each little individual watershed, you have to have your own little water agency. I haven't heard anything from Shasta County yet, and if we don't, in Shasta County, develop our own various watershed agencies and organizations, then the state is going to come in and control that. And those are the kinds of things we need to be, again, go back to the word proactive, and we need to make sure that those kinds of things don't slip through the cracks, and then we're subject to, you know, bureaucracy from Sacramento.
Well, and it's very true, and I know that when I was on the board, the Redding Area Water Council, and we had all of those things going. Yeah. I don't know what's happened to that because I haven't read anything about it in a long time. We need to go to the phones. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, ladies. How are you doing today? Hey, quick question. This is regarding the disenfranchisement of half the residents of Shasta County, and what I mean by that is this sales tax thing the city wants to put through that only city residents are going to get a chance to vote on it, but this tax is going to basically impact all the residents of Shasta County. I mean, there's no Lowe's in Palo Cedro. There's no Costco, you know, in Fall River Mills. And I'm just wondering if the candidate and then if Supervisor Clark would comment on that. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Trish, you want to go first?
Well, I would only say that it, the better way to have done that would have been a countywide tax.
Yes.
Because it's already in the city of Anderson. It would have made really good sense for the board and the city of Redding to go together and do a countywide tax. Having said that, he's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, in the unincorporated area and or the other cities, get an opportunity to vote on that. But we sure will pay it.
We will pay for it, and I agree. I mean, I live in MacArthur, and definitely I will not have the ability to vote on that. But yet, as you say, you have to do the majority of a lot of your shopping in Reading, and we will be paying that sales tax. So, yes, it is a little difficult for those of us in the rural areas to have to deal with that, and we won't have any control over it.
Well, I guess I can only say my opinion. Because I certainly was not involved in the conversations or privy to whether they even had the conversations. But given the fact that they have, for months, years, been talking about the fact that this whole homeless safety, public safety issue is a countywide issue.
It is.
Whether we like it or not, I mean, you can give all kinds of money to the city of Reading to solve these problems, but because of the fact that the county is where they go to jail, where they get the district attorney, where they get the public defender, where they get
mental health services,
you got to throw money at both of them. So basically you're asking the citizens of Reading to vote on a tax that's going to, in fact, fund both the county and the city. It makes no sense that it wasn't a countywide tax
and
where everybody could be involved in the vote.
And, Trish, I agree with that, and I think that's one of the from an outsider, that I see is that there needs to be much more collaboration between the city and the county.
The cities and the county.
I meant city because Reading is discussing this. But the cities need to be much more involved with that. And I think that there needs to be much more collaboration, much more working together, and leveraging of dollars. I think that's the important part. We're all taxpayers, and the last thing anybody wants to do is pay more taxes. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, because I live in the city of Anderson, uh-huh. and the citizens down there opted to put that tax into place. The unfortunate part of that, there is an assumption in the city of Anderson that half-cent sales tax goes for public safety, i.e. police and fire.
Right.
What they are not aware of is that the fire department is a standalone district. Mm-hmm. Anderson Fire Protection District was not, in fact, included in that ballot measure. And no citizens of Anderson, the fire department, is not getting any of that public safety tax money.
Interesting.
Unfortunate thing. We've reached an agreement with the city of Anderson in the unincorporated or in that new annexed area, mm-hmm. where we'll be sharing in that sales tax revenue. But that was an oversight, and I see the same thing again happening now in the city of Reading, where there may be an expectation of things that may not happen because you really didn't do it right. It should have been countywide.
And since it wasn't, we're going to need to really, you know, look hard at revenue sharing, and I think there needs to be some very serious discussions as we move forward with that whole subject.
And it might be a topic of conversation for the Board of Supervisors, mm-hmm. to think about perhaps putting that same tax, if it were to pass in June, uh-huh. in the unincorporated area and get it countywide so that half-cent sales tax would be a uniform, mm-hmm. thing throughout the county. It makes good sense. Again, at that cooperative level, for everybody to be doing the same thing.
Well, it reminds me of the infamous fire fee. We could go on for hours on that particular subject. But, you know, here there's a select few of us in California that pay the fire fee, and I pay my share of them. And yet the whole state really benefits from the watersheds and the forests. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Shasta County needs a leader that will bring new energy to the Board of Supervisors. Mary Rickert, co-owner of Crater Ranch, is that leader. Mary is committed to improving public safety services, addressing substance abuse and mental illness, and to strengthening our economy.
I have a strong background in business, in forestry, and agriculture, and have served on numerous boards and community organizations.
Vote for Mary Rickert for District 3 Supervisor. She will solve our challenges sooner. Paid for by Mary Rickert for Supervisor 2016.
Okay, this is KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. We're in the last half hour of our show. It's Thursday, and it's the first Thursday, so it's Trish Clark and
Sharon Clark here supporting the efforts of Carl Linda Bott, enjoying their morning off.
Exactly, and so we do this on the first Thursday, and this portion of the show is brought to us by
Home Helpers, where we keep your loved ones safe in their own home. We have amazing staff, over 60 caregivers, background checked, bonded, and insured, 2 to 24 hours a day. Call us at Home Helpers, 226-8350. There is no place like home.
All right, and Mary Rickert has joined in this morning. She's a candidate for District 3 Supervisor. And we were just having a conversation a little bit off air about one of the issues that I'm hoping that will get addressed and straightened out, because it's really important for our economy. We've got issues. We've got things that just have to happen, but we need money to do that. And the way you do that is to create jobs, because that in itself solve some of your homeless problem and other things. Those people who aren't addicted, or I mean, we have a homeless population, sure, out there who needs a job, mm-hmm, and who is willing to take it.
That's
if
right.
We can create those jobs. So the way we do that is to encourage those local entrepreneurs who want to create jobs. Mm-hmm. So we can do something about that. How could we help that situation?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion lately, and I'm really pleased that there seems to be some movement, that there's some meetings being taken place with the Resource Management Department, and I think that and private, you know, basically engineering companies, contractors, and this kind of thing. I have talked to several people that have had, let's say, not less than stellar experiences with the local county department, and so I think that topic is kind of rising to the surface, and I think more and more people are discussing how to streamline this process. And it's really important that the county becomes really engaged and they become very customer-centric, that they're focused on making sure that potential new businesses or current businesses that want to expand, that they want to do whatever they can to enable them to do that. And I think that's really, really important. You can't grow business unless you're working together. And so we've got to really kind of change that whole, shift that paradigm and get it so that they understand that this is important to embrace people that want to come to Shasta County. And then that will increase the job opportunities for people and good jobs, too.
That's exactly right.
And I think sometimes the county forgets they work for us. You know, they work for us. It's not your own agenda that you bring. You bring the people's, mm-hmm, agenda and what's best for the community.
Well, and you and I, or you know, is when we go in shopping, there's certain, say, grocery stores that have a real, they want to serve you. You're the customer.
Right.
What can I do to help, mm-hmm, you? And I think we need to emphasize that we're all in business, and they're in business too, and they're in the business of encouraging people to come to Shasta County and to make that process as streamlined as possible and as friendly as possible, and how can we help you, mm-hmm, kind of a mentality.
Absolutely. Do we have a question for Mary?
Oh, we do. This comes from the chat room, and it does. Mary, how do you feel about the idea to spend the sales tax increase as the elected officials are asking, or use any funds to deal with the unfunded pensions of the hundreds of millions county supervisors? The county employees, et cetera, is I think what that's coming about. The unfunded mandates, you know, we have a lot of conversation about that in the city of Reading.
Right.
We never hear the county talking about it, and they've got the same issues.
No, they have the same issues. I'm not quite sure. That's a really complex problem, and I think that everybody has to address that, or else we're going to be in a lot of trouble down the road. Again, we got to look to the future. We got to think about how is this impacting future generations, and we got to be realistic, and that's all there is to it.
I want the public, though, to really understand that this issue, while it all of a sudden seems to be like something that just came out of nowhere, is not a new issue.
No.
It just had to finally be written down and reported. There was a time back when I was on the board where we had a rate holiday with PERS. And,
right.
and they weren't collecting money because the stock investments, everything was doing so good. And I remember at the time saying, shouldn't we be putting that money aside for the future? and it was like a spending spree.
Right.
Yeah. You had $1 million that you had to pay last year. Now you don't have to pay it. And they took the $1 million the next year and spent it on something else.
Yeah.
I was horrified. I thought, shouldn't you be putting that back because this rate holiday isn't going to last mm-hmm. forever?
Right.
And we've already budgeted that money.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we be putting that aside in that account and just like it? You know,
rainy day fund.
and everybody looked at me like, oh, no, this will blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, wow. Then all of a sudden it started to triple and increase. And what they had told us about that 3% at 50 just wasn't true.
Yeah.
And then they said, and by the way, now you have to write it down, all down, all the mess we've gotten you into, and you have to write it down and tell the people about it. But it's been around a while. So
you get to be the messenger. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you did a bad thing there, but we didn't tell you that in advance.
No, I'm a firm believer in fiscal responsibility. You have to, especially when you're in agriculture, you've got to be forward thinking and you got to plan ahead because markets do fluctuate. And so you've got to be, like right now we're in basically a low hay price scenario based on the fact that dairymen are losing money hand over fist up and down California and throughout the country. And so, you know, you've got to plan ahead and then you've got to have that reserve or else you find yourself in a very precarious position. And again, then you'd have to explain it to everybody.
There you go. We have a phone call. We're going to go to the phones. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, hate to bother you again.
That's all right.
You're hitting all my buttons here.
Oh, good. We love hitting buttons when we're on the radio.
No, listen, I comment on the Board of Supervisors in the last 5 years. It's been an absolute collapse of consciousness on their part. They had a chance 5-6 years ago to get $34 million to build another jail that would give us the 300 beds that Basenko is needing, and now we have this crisis that we are turning the criminals in and out. We have no place to shipping them out of the county. And they had a chance to build this jail, but this Board of Supervisors are a bunch of nimskulls. And they voted it down. They thought they couldn't afford it. Well, look at it now. And we've lost that grant money, and it would have been completed by now. And that was the first mistake they made. And then the second mistake that is very critical is the fact that they did nothing to promote and entice 3M Company to go ahead with their project north of Reading there. And that would have given us a 100 and some odd jobs of $25 to $30 an hour wages, plus the $80 million worth of original construction. And they did nothing. Modi, Kehoe, all these people, Bob—they're worthless. So anyway, Mary, I hope that in your conversation with everybody that we aren't going to let those opportunities fall through the cracks again. And good luck with your campaign.
Well,
but
thank
again,
you.
This last 5 years has been miserable. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Billy Bob.
it certainly, boy, I wouldn't want to start and list the number of businesses that have come and gone or tried to site or, mm-hmm. Gosh, that gravel crushing plant down in the city, you know, in the Roseburg property down there.
Yes, it's across the river from one of our ranches. Yes.
It was before the Planning Commission for 3 years.
Yeah.
How can you do that to a business? And it's in an industrially zoned area that has been industrial forever.
Right.
And I went to one of those meetings because it was during the Anselmo fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting there talking, I swear, about the same things they were talking about, those citizens out there, when we sited Wheeler Brader out there 30 years ago.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, the road isn't big enough. Yeah. I mean, timber trucks came down that road forever. We had how many mills operating in that area? The road is the same road. And I sat there and thought, oh, my God, deja vu. 30 years, it's still industrial. 3 years. Oh,
yeah.
That's a button for me, too, Billy. Yeah.
Well, and exactly. And I think, like I say, we need to refocus and embrace those people that want to come to Shasta County and to encourage those that are currently in business, not to be have an adversarial kind of a relationship, but to basically be a team and let's work together and be a strong voice. That's what I hope to do, is be a strong voice for businesses.
That we certainly need that on the board at the present time, because we just have no one who's willing to who step forward and take the position of the people that you serve. Mm-hmm. I felt when I was on the board, Mary, and this is probably a loaded question, but the Board of Supervisors make over $50,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
In Shasta County, that's a full-time income.
Right.
I saw that position as a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that it was incumbent upon me to be doing something. Now, it doesn't mean I want to sit in the office,
right,
because my district isn't in Reading,
right,
or wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like I needed to have an office present. But I felt like a good portion of my time needed to be committed to being a county supervisor. That doesn't seem to happen. I look at that calendar.
Uh-huh.
They have more canceled meetings than they have meetings. They rarely have an afternoon session.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear or see of that board being any place except on Tuesday morning occasionally. Comment on that.
That is something that I have heard over and over again, is to be more proactive. And anyone that knows me know I have a high energy level, and I like to be out and meet with people and to be on the ground. And that's really important to me. And again, I'm going to emphasize the extensive size of District 3. But I live at the far corner and travel down here, too, because part of our cattle operation is down here. So I'm down in this area also and serve on board. So I'm very much, you know, I go to the dentist in Palo Cedro. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of a dual citizen of both kinds of ends of the district. So I really, really do think that it's imperative that a supervisor, in order to hear and to listen to the constituents, has to be out and about at whatever functions they possibly can. And that is one of my high priorities. And to return phone calls. I was making some phone calls last night, and I've canvassed the most, just about every community I can. I've had a group helping me with that, because I want to meet the people face to face. I want to hear that. I can't tell you how many people I've said, "Is this really you?" You know, and I said, "Yes, this is really me." And that's how committed I am to this. I am dedicated to the people and to want to hear their viewpoints and their concerns. I've been returning phone calls. I've been getting emails and returning phone calls probably four or five a day, and people really appreciate that. And I do want to hear. I've attended all seven forums that we've had. Not all the candidates have, and I want to hear all perspectives. I think it's important that everybody has a voice in Shasta County and in District 3.
Good point. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back for our final segment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. Washington, D.C. is a long way from the North State, not just in distance, but also in attitude. The decisions made there affect much of our everyday lives. The national debt is nearing $20 trillion. That's mind-boggling, and it must be brought under control. And those politicians who say everyone needs to pay their fair share, well, they're talking about you paying more, not themselves. We don't need higher taxes. You already pay too much. The best way to eliminate the crushing debt is to control government spending and the ridiculous regulations that chase our jobs overseas. It's that simple. I voted against the big spenders and to slash the debt. We've put the brakes on more billions of your federal tax dollars being spent on the high-speed crazy train. And I will keep fighting to build new reservoirs, protect our North State water, and force the VA to take care of our veterans. This is Doug LaMalfa, and I authorize this message.
Doug LaMalfa is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
It's romance on the river with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Wind River Resort and Casino's Elements Lounge, Thursday, June 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Garamonte's on drums, with my special guest, Rick Hill, on guitar, and a very special appearance with Scott Lewis. Come see us June 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m., 243-3377 for reservations, and we'll see you there.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train, goes to anywhere.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. This is our final portion this morning. If you got something you'd like to say, give us a call at 605-4567. A reminder, it is Thursday, so Carl and Linda have the morning off, and it's been Trish Clark and
Sharon Clark. Good morning.
And we hope you're enjoying our show, and we've got some final thoughts here with Mary Rickert, who is running for Shasta County Supervisor District 3. She's thrown out a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to think of what the final thoughts are, and they're both going to hate me now because I'm going to throw out the state of Jefferson, because that is a key thing in Shasta County.
It is, and I've had this conversation with several people. I'm a rancher. You want to talk about regulations when it comes to, I could go through scenario after scenario that, you know, whether it's having to join a water association and monitor our irrigated pasture land. We've been doing that for years. And when I got involved in something called GRAP, it's the Grazing Regulatory Action Project that the State Water Resources Control Board wanted to impose upon all rangeland, which is 33 million acres, in the entire state of California. Basically a one-size-fits-all program.
As they all are.
As they all are. And you know there was a fee attached, though they wouldn't really admit that. We had a meeting here in Redding, one in San Luis Obispo, and one in Bishop. So I stepped aside on my position as on the Range Management Advisory Committee for the state of California, and as a private citizen hosted a tour with the California Cattlemen's Association. Jim and I did, with Prather Ranch did. And we took them out to the Rickert Ranch in Bella Vista, and then our ranch there, and Trish, you've been out on it. They're out of Anderson, off of Dirt. And I had Thomas A. who come speak about the illegal marijuana grows, and I showed him Cow Creek and the rural subdivisions and the potential for, you know, septic system contaminating Cow Creek. And we had about 35 people from all over California. We had, you know, lawyers from Farm Bureau, and I had all the rangeland experts that I could pull from NRCS and UC Cooperative. And basically about 4 months later, after we had this big one-day confab, we got an email circulated throughout the state, and they had decided to discontinue the program statewide, that each regional water quality control board was going to deal with it on a regional basis. And so that was a huge victory.
Absolutely.
And so those are the kinds of, that's an example of, I think, how you can be effective if you can educate people, especially educate people that come from Sacramento that really don't understand, get their feet on the ground, you know, get a little bit of cow manure on them, and so that they're real people, and have them understand that we really are trying our best up here as stewards of the land, that we are concerned about the environment, and that there are other extenuating circumstances that are going on, whether it's the illegal marijuana grows with all the, you know, illegal chemicals that get smuggled into this country and used on those, that's draining into our watersheds, which is another one of my issues that I get real concerned about in the environment. And so it's really important that that you educate people and have them understand. So if we keep trying to be a strong voice, and that's what I tried to do, was to be a strong voice for California cattlemen up and down this state. I think we made a difference.
And I think that's exactly what that whole movement is about. And I applaud the people that are bringing all of the issues to light, recognizing that the odds of it actually happening because of all the hoops you have to jump through to make it happen, it's not a sure deal by any stretch of the imagination. But I do want to remind people that a lot of the arguments that come out about water and all those things really can be addressed through that process. And in a nutshell, remind them that the whole point is to start a new state.
Right.
And you don't need to recreate the massive bureaucracy in a new state. It's an opportunity to start from scratch.
Right.
And only have those programs that you're mandated by the federal government to have. And then you don't need to have a lot of the other stuff that's built into the state of California. So there is an opportunity to really build a good state and not have all the bureaucracy if, in fact, you could get through the process. We're going to go to the phones. We have a question from Bruce. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I just wanted to add to what you're saying. We're losing our liberty at an alarming rate in the state of California, whether it's the recent gun legislation that's passed by the legislature, the $15 an hour minimum wage, and these other things. We're just losing it at an alarming rate, and without Jefferson, I don't think it's only going to get worse. Yes, we're doing a good fight, but we need to stand up for liberty. I'd rather be poor and free than rich and a serf to the people in Sacramento, and that's just my comment for Mary.
Well, I certainly can appreciate that. Trust me, serving on the State Board of Forestry, I was a very strong advocate on that board for transparency about the fire fee, because I have to write several checks for some clients of ours and ourselves, and I was really concerned about how that money is being spent and is it effective use of our dollars. And that's a big issue, too. I'm concerned about, you know, our forests and the health of our forests in California.
Well, I think we're more capable up here of managing our life than Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Liberals in the Bay Area and L.A. really don't understand this, and I don't think you can convince the bulk of them. They have an agenda, and it's control, total control. Mm-hmm. And you just look at the gun legislation. It's ridiculous what they're doing to our Second Amendment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You're absolutely right, Bruce, and it's frightening to just...
It is frightening. And what I fear for is my kids and grandkids. I'm old, but my kids and grandkids, is there going to be an uprising at some point? How far is this going to go?
I don't know.
Well,
we have less freedom than the founders, I'm beginning to think, in some respects.
Well, another issue I've been working on in the last probably year is the wolf issue, because they are here, and we've had some. And it's a very scary thing, and boy, we are told we cannot, the only thing we're allowed to do is take pots and pans and scare them away.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
And that's a little scary.
I don't know. I think that sounds like a shoot, shovel, and shut up.
I didn't say that.
I did. That was Trish.
But anyway, I agree 100% because I'm out there, trust me, on the ground trying to convince people this is not as easy as it looks, and we need to stand up for our rights, and that's all.
Well, we do, and I don't think the legislature really, a lot of the people, the environmentalists, don't really like ranching. They want to get people off the land.
Trust me, I you have no idea. My husband, he was quoted in the Sacramento Bee a couple of times about the wolf issue. And needless to say, it's good he's not running for public office, but because he's a little more straightforward. But the blogs, the comments that I read afterward, I had to stop reading them because it was just made me
ignorant people.
They just hate ranchers. And I'm thinking, okay, the next time you take a bite of a burger, think about where that came from.
Yeah. Well, Mary, I'll give you a real clue. When you're sitting in that District 3 supervisor, that's something you don't do. You do not read the blog. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate your input.
Thank you.
So, final thoughts. I'm serious about that. You just don't need the aggravation. And
people get very brave behind the keyboard.
You just do not read the blogs. Okay. Facebook's bad enough, but you don't do the blogs. Because they don't have to identify themselves.
Right,
and they can get really vicious and really mean and very hurtful. I'll tell you. As thick-skinned as we think we are. I mean, I didn't read blogs, haven't for a long time. final thoughts. We're closing, and so we got the election coming up Tuesday.
Sure.
Remind everybody they need to vote. If you've got a ballot out there that's a mail-in ballot, mail it today or hand-deliver it so that it absolutely gets in and your vote counts.
Well, I just wanted to briefly go over what I consider my top priorities, and I think public safety and crime, which is kind of interconnected to mental illness and substance abuse, and I think those issues are probably at the forefront, because without cleaning up Shasta County, we're not going to attract new businesses here, and we need to strengthen our economy in Shasta County, and we need it. It's a jewel of the North State. It absolutely is a glorious place. I can't tell you, when I get out and walk in the mornings, you know, and I see Mount Shasta, and it's just all its glory, this place is just a blessing to be able to live here. And then I also think that we need to collaborate more with the cities and the county and develop a real strong relationship as a team. And we need to work together and to leverage our dollars to save the taxpayers' money. And that's the bottom line. We are here to represent the people and to listen to what their needs are.
Yeah, well said. And I really like the idea of the collaboration. We have three incorporated cities that need to be at the table solving these problems, because the issues that we read about don't just exist in the city of Reading. They exist in both the other cities and in the unincorporated area, and we need all of the elected officials in all of those jurisdictions working together to make a better lifestyle for the citizens of Anderson and Reading and Shasta County as a whole and Shasta Lake. All of us.
Very
together.
Good. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on, Mary. It was great meeting you and hearing what you have to say. And
I'm glad you chose Thursday to come in. So
I'm sorry I'm not in your district.
the ladies could control this and had a great morning. And we thank everybody that's out there and that has stuck with us through the 2 hours. I'll see you next Thursday. And be sure you go to Elements this evening and see Linda Bott and the Bluebirds. I don't know why I have a hard time with that. Linda and her gang, and they're wonderful. So thanks very much. This is KCNR 1460 AM radio for the North State.
Back down, gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from...
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. We still don't know why he did it, but Los Angeles police have now identified the UCLA gunman as Minok Sarkar, a member of a biomechanics research group. Police say he gunned down mechanical engineering professor William Klug in an office yesterday before taking his own life. The university, meanwhile, says it will investigate claims by some students who say they were unable to effectively shelter in place as ordered after the shots rang out.
Students and our professor just shut off all the lights, and we tried to, like, barricade the door in our building. The issue with the door was that it actually opens outward into the hallway, and there's no lock.
UCLA senior Daphne Ying. The presidential campaign trail looking more like a boxing ring. It's a verbal slugfest with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump pounding away at each other.
We see someone who is unqualified and unfit to